أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء والطارق، وما أدراك ما الطارق، النجم الثاقب، إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ، فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق، خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب، إنه على رجعه لقادر، يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر، والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع، إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل، إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا، فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. صدق الله العظيم. دليل، أما الدليل، إذا ذكرت محمدا صارت دموع العاشقين تسيل. قمر 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 سيدنا النبي قمر، وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل، قمر 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 سيدنا النبي قمر، وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل، كحيل الطرف حبيبي لو تراه، الله الله، ضحوك السن للعاشق رماه، الله الله، كحيل الطرف حبيبي لو تراه، الله الله، ضحوك السن للعاشق رماه، الله الله، بهي الطلعة فالمولى اصطفاه، بهي الطلعة فالمولى اصطفاه، بهي الطلعة فالمولى اصطفاه، حبيب الله يا خير البرايا. قمرون قمرون قمر سيدنا النبي قمرون، وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل، وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي
الله الله
وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي
الله الله
وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي
الله الله
وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي
الله الله
وعمن والوها كل العباد وعمن والوها كل العباد وعمن والوها كل العباد حبيب الله يا خير البرايا
قمرون
قمرون قمر سيدنا النبي قمرون وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل ولا ظل له بل كان نورا
الله الله
تنال الشمس منه والبدور
الله الله
ولا ظل له بل كان نورا
الله الله
تنال الشمس منه والبدور
الله الله
ولم يكن الهدى لولا ظهورا ولم يكن الهدى لولا ظهورا ولم يكن الهدى لولا ظهورا وكل الكون أنار بنوري طه
قمرون قمرون
قمر سيدنا النبي قمرون
وجميل وجميل
وجميل سيدنا النبي وجميل وريق المصطفى يشفي العليلا
الله الله
وعين علي فاخذها دليلا
الله الله
وريق المصطفى يشفي العليلا
الله الله
وعين علي فاخذها دليلا
الله الله
تفلفل بيري اضحت سلسبيلا تفلفل بيري اضحت سلسبيلا تفلفل بيري أضحت سلسبيلا وصار لصحبه شهدا مداما
قمرون قمرون
قمر سيدنا النبي قمرون
وجميل وجميل
وجميل سيدنا النبي وجميل صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما حتى تنالوا جنة ونعيما
اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه.
ما شاء الله نبقي بس التوفيق of reciting abundantly Durood Sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So beautifully these students have recited. We must try to learn a little bit of Arabic so that at least some of the words we can understand. It was actually talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who can explain with regard to that in the Arabic language to hear the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's so beautiful in its own. Mufti Muhammad Aku doesn't need much introduction. He's a ustad of hadith in our well-known Darul Uloom, Newcastle. MashaAllah. This historical events, Mufti Sahib is like an expert. And it's fun. It is a subject that Mufti Sahib teaches also in the Darul Uloom. Mufti Sahib is a student of Mufti Radaul Haq Sahib of Darul Uloom, Zakaria. Somebody sent us an email during the course of the week to say who is Mufti Muhammad Aku and where did he qualify and where did he do his iftar. So I thought that as a matter of clarification, I'd rather make it known at the beginning that Mufti Muhammad Aku is a student of Mufti Radaul Haq Sahib and he studied in Darul Uloom Zakaria as well. He did his iftar there as well. So inshallah we'll ask Mufti Muhammad Aku to come and enlighten us inshallah. Historical events have different aspects. And we are fortunate, we know mostly we know about the four Khulafa Rashideen and the events that have happened thereafter. Sometimes it's hazy, we are not very clear, many people don't speak about it, things that are not very clear historically. So inshallah, today we make this niyat that we sit with this intention that we try to learn also. And these events Mufti Sahab will be speaking about is, I think, approximately from the year 60 AH up to 130. So about nearly how many, 60, 70 years of events, but inshallah in the short period of about 40, 50 minutes, inshallah Mufti Sahab will try to concise this deliberation. And if the need be, we can talk about it at another date, at a further event, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ وعن عرباد بن سارية رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم علم معاوية الكتاب والحساب وقه العذاب رواه أحمد والترمذي وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحمل هذا الدين من كل خلف عدوله يحمون عنه تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين وتأويل الجاهلين رواه البيهقي وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Respected ulama kiram, my respected elders, my beloved brothers in Islam, I am only a student of deen, and I thank Allah who has given me the opportunity to share these few incidents in history. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us and strengthen us to say what is right, and present the message of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the correct manner. We are so weak, we can do nothing without Allah's help. Deen spread through few stages. As Hazrat Mufti Ud-ul Haq Sahib Damat Barakatuhum would always mention, one was Takmiluddin. Then the second, after that also, was Tamkinuddin. And then Tadweenuddin, Tanzeefuddin, Ta'aleemuddin, and Tablighuddin. Takmiluddin, deen was always perfect, but the completion of deen. Deen was completed in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. Being perfect, deen was always perfect. Every instruction from Allah, even while it was coming, it was always perfect. The child also is perfect, as he grows also. So in the same way, deen was perfect, but it was completed in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. And this is referred to in the Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. I have completed your deen for you. And this is what I have chosen for you. I am happy with Islam as your deen. As far as tamkinuddin, deen was strengthened, fortified, was given a strong footing, far and wide. That took place in the time of Khulafa Rashideen. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum after that, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and his dynasty, the Banu Umayyah, and the Banu al-Abbas after that as well, further, tamkinuddin took place. Tanzeefuddin, deen was cleansed. This is also done throughout. Whenever people of false intentions, people with wrong beliefs, many a time with the wrong intention, with an agenda, they would come in and try and present the incorrect message, Allah's people would defend the deen. Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their students, and so on and so on. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of this. That different times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in every era, bring his people to preserve and protect the deen. يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ, where they will protect the deen. The radicalism, the transgression, the misunderstandings that are presented by the incorrect people, and the wrong interpretations, تَأْوِيل الْجَاهِلِينَ, by the ignorant ones. Allah will bring his people to defend the deen. This was Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and after that. So throughout time when this happened, this took place mainly in starting from Ali radiallahu anhu's time further on. Ta'limuddin took place also throughout. And Tablighuddin, as we will see, took place throughout these periods. By the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, by the awliya, by the salihin, by the akabirin. So there were people with wrong intentions who misinterpreted the deen. And there were those also who were sincere. But because they took the deen from the incorrect sources, they went astray. Deen has a source, has a pattern. It has to be derived and received via the correct pattern. Then deen will come into our lives pristine and pure. In the time of, so as our discussion today is the Banu Umayyah, the elder of the Banu Umayyah is Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Just to explain the link of Uthman radiallahu anhu with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's lineage. Take note with me, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib, ibn Hashim, ibn Abdi Munaf. So let's remember Abdu Munaf. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdi Munaf. Uthman radiallahu anhu. Uthman bin Affan bin Abi al-As. Bin Abi al-As bin Umayyah. Bin Umayyah bin Abd Shams bin Abdi Munaf. So already we learnt of two sons of Abdu Munaf. One was Hashim, from whom Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. The other is Abd Shams, from whom Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu comes. Abd Shams. That's Abdul Munaf's second son. Other son. Then another offspring of Abd Shams is Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah. So let's see how close is Muawiyah radiallahu anhu to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then to Uthman radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. Bin Harb, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu, bin Harb, bin Umayyah, bin Abd Shams, bin Abd Shams. Abd Shams is the son of Abd Munaf. And there was another ruler that came afterwards, Marwan bin Hakam. He also comes from the lineage of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, in our aqidah, in our belief, the third greatest Sahabi, from all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, from after Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, the third greatest person of all nations is Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His life was given for Allah's deen. Great sacrifice. He ruled with such precision. Deen reached far and wide in his time. Later on we'll discuss how he would send people to spread deen far and wide. Towards the end of Uthman radiallahu anhu's time, there were these people with the incorrect beliefs who thought they knew better than Sahaba. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who learned deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people felt, no, we know it better. And this is what happens, my respected elders, when we take deen from the incorrect sources. When we take deen from the wrong avenues and we neglect the correct heart-to-heart system from the ulama, from the akabir, from the pious predecessors who took it from their asatida, right till the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This was the pattern. Now these people came who felt they knew better than Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sahaba were traveling far and wide. And these people, radicals, wrong beliefs, with wrong intentions, they come into Medina. And they surround Uthman radiallahu anhu's house. Why? We are right. Uthman radiallahu anhu is wrong. Uthman radiallahu anhu was so merciful. 34 Hijri. The year 34 Hijri. In Hajj, his governors are telling him, these people are actually planning wrong things. O Amirul Mu'mineen. They actually have wrong intentions. Let us take them to task. Uthman radiallahu anhu was so merciful. His rule of 10 years so far was of mercy, was of rahmah, was of peace, was of tranquility. But these radicals came about. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, make more ikram of them. Maybe they'll understand. His governors went back to try again to explain to these people that don't disrespect Uthman radiallahu anhu. And still, these people made it to Medina with their wrong beliefs, with their wrong understanding. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu were fire and white. They were taking deen to the four corners of the world, spreading deen, showing mercy unto mankind. That's why Medina Munawwara had not many Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And even those that were there came to defend Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he instructed them. Who am I? I am your Amir. I am your Khalifa. They said, of course. He said, my instruction to you is don't fight for me. This was his mercy. He said, rather I go, instead of so many Sahaba losing their lives. So many other innocent people in defending me lose their lives. He sacrificed his life. This was Uthman radiallahu anhu. Then Ali radiallahu anhu ruled. These people increased in their fitna and their facade. And throughout his reign, to such an extent, that 5 years of rule, these wrong belief, people with wrong belief, they gathered and they planning now to kill the people of truth. Abdurrahman bin Muljim, Barq Tamimi, Amr bin Bakr, three of them said, one said, I'm going for Ali radiallahu anhu. It was Ramadan, 40 Hijri. Abdurrahman bin Muljim said, he went to Kufa. The other said, I will go for Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. They're going for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The third, Amr bin Bakr said, I will go for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Amr bin Bakr went for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Barq Tamimi went to Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. And they actually planned that on the same night, we're going to end the life of these luminaries of Islam, these great people. This is how the forces of Batil came in. Ali radiallahu anhu was waking up the people for Fajr after Tahajjud. As he was waking them up for Fajr Salah, Abdurrahman bin Muljim comes in. He's watching Ali radiallahu anhu. And with his dagger that was poisoned the entire week, he stabs Ali radiallahu anhu at the doorstep of the masjid. Ali radiallahu anhu screams out, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba, by the qasam of the Rabb of Kaaba, I have won, I have triumphed, I have succeeded. He's on his deathbed, he was badly wounded, not long after that, approximately 3 days after that, he was leaving this world. He said to them, if I live, I will decide their fate. If I go, then you all decide amongst you. They said to him, O Amirul Mu'mineen, you choose who will be the Amir after you. He said, leave it to Shura, the Mashura will decide. And Ali radiallahu anhu left this world. The other, he went for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was badly wounded, but Allah saved him. The person who went for Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, that day Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was ill. So he didn't make it out. The person who was his naib, his deputy, was killed. So Ali radiallahu anhu left this world. Now they torturing this Abdurrahman bin Muljim. And as they torture him, they were going to mutilate him so bad, so upset they were. And he accepted any torture. Then when they were going to cut his tongue, he said, this you can't do. They said, why? Why you don't want us to cut your tongue? He said, I can't spend one second, one moment of my life without the zikr of Allah. Imagine he wants to make the zikr of Allah and he wants to kill the friend of Allah. This is when deen is taken from the incorrect sources. When deen is taken from the wrong avenues. That's why these gadgets and these different means are not the correct means of spreading deen. And these are not the means of drawing our knowledge of deen. Mashura was made. Hassan bin Ali radiallahu anhu was made the Amir. At that time he was Amirul Mu'mineen. Hassan radiallahu anhu ruled for 6 months. From Ramadan right till Rabi'ul Awwal. And his heart was yearning for unity. His heart was paining. He wanted to unite the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he did something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about. He marched with his men to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu to hand over Khilafah. And he did something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ بْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدٌ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُسْلِحُ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِئَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ This son of mine is a senior, is one of great status. Allah will use him to unite two great parts of my ummah, two great groups of my ummah. Allah will use him to unite. And he goes to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And he said, I knew Muawiyah radiallahu anhu will rule because my father told me he will rule. And Hassan radiallahu anhu hands it over to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. When Hassan radiallahu anhu, some of his men were upset that why are you causing this disgrace? He said, what disgrace is there in unity? This is not a disgrace. Al-aar khayrun min an-nar. The fire of Jahannam is worse. And then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu became the ruler exactly 30 years after Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about. Who is Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? He accepted Islam on the occasion of Sulhul Hudaybiyah. Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his seer the report with the sanad that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says, when Sulhul Hudaybiyah was taking place, waqa'a al-islamu fi qalbi. Allah put Islam in my heart. He changed. He accepted Islam. He says, my father rebuked me. Why you accept Islam? Your brother didn't. His brother's name was Yazid bin Abi Sufyan. He says, I remain firm on my deen. When Fath Makkah was taking place, my father accepted Islam. My brother, Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhum, also accepted Islam. And I also announced my Islam. And from that time, he was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept him by his side. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him katibul wahyi, a scribe of the wahyi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, "Kuntu al'ab ma'al ghilman." One day I was playing with my friends. Allah's Nabi called me. "Ud'u li Muawiyah wa kana yaktubul wahya." Call Muawiyah radiallahu anhu for me. Why? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu explains because Muawiyah radiallahu anhu used to write the wahyi for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Allahumma 'allim Muawiyah al-kitab. Wallah, teach him the Quran. Wal hisab. Wallah, teach him correct reckoning and accounting. Teach him correct calculation. Waqihil adab. And wallah, you save him from the fire of Jahannam. In one report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding on a conveyance. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was behind him. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, O Muawiyah, ma yalini mink. What is touching me from your body? He says, Batni ya Rasulullah. It is my belly. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma mla'hu ilman, wa zada fihi Abu Mushirin wa hilman. Oh Allah, fill Muawiyah with ilm and hilm, forbearance. And this was who Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was. He was a man of forbearance. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was making khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi mentions this report with the sanad. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu started making khidmat, pouring the water for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi looked at him repeatedly. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O Muawiyah, in wulita amran fa'adil. O Muawiyah, one day, if it happens that you will be the ruler, fa'ahsin, one report. The other is fa'adil, rule with justice and rule with ihsan and kindness. That's why Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, I knew deep down, Allah will make me the ruler. Not that I asked Allah for it, because Allah's Nabi told me on numerous occasions this, and he indicated to it, so I knew it will happen someday. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu ruled with such precision. His reign was a reign of 20 years where the entire ummah was united. His akhlaq was immaculate. His logo, his slogan was forbearance. He would say, فَمَا قَتَلَ السَّفَاهَةَ مِثْلُ حِلْمٍ يَعُودُ بِهِ عَلَى الْجَهْلِ الْحَلِيمُ وَلَا تَسْفَهْ وَإِن مُلِّئْتَ غَيْظًا وَلَا تَسْفَهْ وَإِن مُلِّئْتَ غَيْظًا وَلَا تَسْفَهْ وَإِن مُلِّئْتَ غَيْضًا عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ فَإِنَّ الْفُحْشَ لَوْمُ Muawiyah radiallahu anhu would say that nothing can remove foolishness like forbearance, kindness, understanding. And then he would say, don't be vulgar. Even if you're filled with rage, don't rebuke anybody. Don't be vulgar with anybody. فَإِنَّ الْفُحْشَ لَوْمُ Vulgarity is a blemish on a believer. وَلَا تَقْطَعْ أَخًا لَكَ عِنْدَ ذَنْبٍ فَإِنَّ الذَّنْبَ يَغْفِرُهُ الْكَرِيمُ And he would say, don't break ties with someone because of some mistake he made. Dhanb is a mistake. He made some mistake. Dhanb is mistake and dhanab. Dhanab is tail. As it mentioned so beautifully, Dhanb is a mistake and dhanab is a tail. Meaning, when a person perpetrates wrong, it'll follow him like a tail until it'll never leave him. Allah save us from guna and sins. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu would say, if someone made a mistake, don't break ties with him. Because we want Allah to forgive us, so why don't we forgive? What he would say? وَلَا تَقْطَعْ أَخًا لَكَ عِنْدَ ذَنْبٍ فَإِنَّ الذَّنْبَ يَغْفِرُهُ الْكَرِيمُ. Don't break ties with someone because of some mistake he made. Because Allah is Kareem. We want him to forgive us. We should also forgive. And the other meaning of this part of the bait is, we should be Kareem. And a Kareem is one who forgives. Sakhi is one who is generous, but he gives some and keeps more. Jawad is a generous one who gives more and keeps less. And Kareem is he who gives everything. He keeps nothing. That's why when Hassan radiallahu anhu, he handed over Khilafah to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he went to Medina Munawwara to make khidmat. Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions there were numerous occasions where Hassan radiallahu anhu would give everything away and not keep back a penny, not keep back anything. Everything was given. That is Kareem. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says we must be Kareem and forgive mankind and forgive others. His nature was forbearance. If anyone spoke vulgarly with him, he would look at him with a smile. In the time of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ibn al-Athir rahmatullahi mentions this report that Allah's Nabi was telling the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that one ruler of Yemen will come. Qail. Qail is a Yemeni king. A Himyar. Himyar is a big region or a people in Yemen. And a ruler, a king of theirs is called Qail. Like a king of Abyssinia is known as Najashi, or a Coptic king is known as the Pharaoh, Fir'aun, or the ruler of Persia is known as Kisra. That's a title for that king. So Qail, a Qail is coming. His name was Wail bin Hujr. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba he will be coming. And he is among the last Aqyal of Yemen, kings of Yemen. This man reaches in Medina Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gets up to welcome him. Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, Allah's Nabi just told us before that he will be coming. And this person comes to sit by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes his ikram, gives him honor. And he presents some complaints to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my people have ill-treated me. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't worry, I will give you much more than that. And Allah's Nabi made him a ruler in one area of Yemen. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him one plot and told Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, O Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, in this region there's one plot there. Cut this plot and hand it over. Give the documents to Wail bin Hujr. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is taking him as a guide to this region. And Wail bin Hujr is on his conveyance, and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu didn't have a conveyance at that time. So he's walking in the desert. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu makes a request. Wail, can you give me a lift behind you at least? He says, no. Lasta min ardafil muluk. How can you sit behind the king? Remember, my respected elders, when a man is new to Islam, a Muslim has to tolerate. One who's long in Islam has to tolerate, has to show forbearance, has to show love, has to show akhlaq. Sometimes a person will come to the masjid. He's not dressed in the appropriate dress of the masjid. Maybe he's wearing something he shouldn't be wearing. We should show him with love. We should show him with akhlaq. He will come back to the masjid. We won't lose him. Not long ago there was a new Muslim brother. He walked in the masjid in one area. So he was walking with me, and one brother approaches him and starts rebuking him in public. He just accepted Islam a month before that. That man never came after that. He felt so bad that his pants was beneath his ankles, but he didn't know. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu doesn't say a thing to Wail bin Hujr. He says, okay, Wail, if you don't put me behind you, at least borrow me your shoes, because your sole is much thicker and my soles are finishing and I'm still feeling the pain of this desert sand. Wail says, you know what, I'll do you one favor. In ta'il dhilla naqati. My camel has a shade. Walk inside that shade. Maybe you'll get some relief. Muawiyah kept quiet. Radiallahu anhu. This is akhlaq. Wail bin Hujr says, years later, I came to visit Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. When he was Amirul Mu'mineen in Damascus, he gets up. He welcomes me. He lets me sit in his seat. And how I wished. And I remembered that past incident that he didn't remind me about. And I wished that on that day, I regretted and I wish that I should have given him the best seat. Sadra naqati. The best seat is the front seat in the naqa. In the camel, it's a more comfortable ride in front. I wished I gave him that. This was the akhlaq and the forbearance of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. One day a great sahabi, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, writes a letter to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Both are great Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu had his farm. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's farm or property was next to Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhum's. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's slaves or servants were entering Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu's farm. And Abdullah bin Zubair wasn't happy about it. So Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, strictly, you know, stopping him from that. That please, I don't like this. Your servants are coming into my farm. Oh Muawiyah, stop it. Otherwise, I'll take you to task. The letter was received by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. When Yazid had seen this letter, he was very upset. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says, that's not how you become upset with the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my son, this is how you respond. And he wrote down on that letter, قَدْ وَقَفْتُ عَلَىٰ كِتَابِكَ يَبْنَ حَوَارِيِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I have received the letter of the son of the Hawari of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning Abdullah radiallahu anhu's father was Zubair radiallahu anhu. Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu was the special disciple and helper of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, I have received the letter of the special disciple of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَسَاءَنِي مَا سَاءَهُ. And what hurts him is what hurts me. Meaning if anything upsets you, it upsets me also. Forgive me for that. وَأُخْبِرُكَ أَنَّ أَرْضِي وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا عَلَيْهَا هَدِيَّةٌ لَكْ. My farm, everything on it, and all my slaves working in my farm, and everything on it is a hadiyah for you. Please forgive me. When Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu received this letter, he felt bad the way he addressed Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And he sent a reply of dua for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. With such rule, with such forbearance, with such akhlaq, on one occasion, Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu anhu comes to visit Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu welcomed him. And whatever Miswar radiallahu anhu wanted, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu fulfilled his need for him. And then he said to Miswar bin Makhrama, who was also a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Miswar bin Makhrama, O Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have one thing to ask you. That there are certain discussions going around about me. If there is anything that you don't like about me, I would love you to speak to me about it directly. Miswar radiallahu anhu says, I didn't come for that. Please leave it. You fulfill what I need. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says, no, anything you don't like about me, tell me. I might have an answer for it, or I might be wrong and I'll confess to you. So Miswar radiallahu anhu says, whatever I didn't like, I mentioned to him. And he answered me. And he says, Miswar, is the good that I do more, or the mistakes we make is more? Because Allah multiplies good deeds so many times its fold. Miswar radiallahu anhu says, when I left his arena or his office, I had so much more love for him because of the way that he asked me directly. This was Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's akhlaq. That if he had any, you know, discussion with someone, he would speak directly. And this is something that we should learn. If we have anything against anybody, instead of speaking behind that person's back, rather speak to that person directly, as Muawiyah radiallahu anhu teaches us. And then we will find most of the time that our thoughts about that person was wrong. Really, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, so much is due to him that in 20 years, the entire ummah was united so greatly. He sent sahaba out in Allah's path to spread deen far and wide. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu under Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He sent first under Uthman radiallahu anhu. He sent his students who were also sahaba radiallahu anhu, but who were junior to Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. They went into Africa. And they went to the regions around Egypt, because Egypt was under Islam in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. So around Egypt, all those areas towards North Africa, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu sent a man by the name of Uqba bin Nafi' al-Fihri. Uqba bin Nafi' al-Fihri is such a great personality that there's a discussion that whether he's a Sahabi or not. But the preferred view is he was born in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. So by birth he is Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And the other is that Umar radiallahu anhu also made him Amir on so many occasions. And Umar radiallahu anhu very rarely would appoint a Tabi'i as an Amir over a Sahabi. That's why the preferred view is he is a Sahabi. Uqba bin Nafi' radiallahu anhu. Oh rahmatullah alayhi. And he goes into these regions. And he brings Islam to so many of these towns. So many towns Uqba bin Nafi' rahmatullah alayhi brings Islam to. In Africa. To such an extent that when the people change their lives, even the non-Muslims were affected by his akhlaq. He went to regions called Zuwila, Fazan, Wuddan. And when he brought these people to Islam, he didn't just leave. He stayed there 20 years doing dawat and tabligh and ta'aleem. 20 years in Africa in this desert. بهذه المناطق الصحراوية المنعزلة 20 سنة يدعو إلى الله. 20 years giving dawat to Allah. Uqba bin Nafi'. Then, this was through Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's time. And after that, he went further. As Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was the ruler, there was so much of unity in the ummah that Islam spread so far and wide. That now Uqba bin Nafi' went further on. He was in a region called Barqa, Cyrenaica, Barqa, towards Libya. And then he went to Sarat, another region. He taught deen there, Zawila, Ghadamis, towards the north. And then he covered regions like Tripoli, Trablus, Subaytila. And he finally reached Qairuwan. This was during Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's reign. And when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu left this world, Islam reached so far and wide. He was ruling from China in the east, right till the Caucasus mountain. Allahu Akbar. He ruled from so many regions, from China in the east, right till the Caucasus mountains in the west. And not Caucasus mountains in the west, from China, and then from the north, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu ruled from the Caucasus mountains in the north, right till the jungles of Africa in the south. The lands of Islam had become so vast and so wide, where so many people were Muslim, and so many people's lives changed. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had a worry that how he's going to keep this rule united as he had it for 20 years. And he knew there were so many people worthy of Khilafah. But he felt he didn't want any disunity to come in again. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he felt ikhlasan lillah, and he felt for Allah's sake to keep the ummah united, and also the people of Sham who were supporters of the Banu Umayyah. He felt he will put his son in rule. And he appointed his son. And that's what happened after that. After that, there were different fitan that happened. Anyway, those fitan that happened in the ummah. But after that, when Abdul Malik bin Marwan ruled again, then Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu ruled. He was Amir al-Mu'mineen. And fitan happened again. Then Abdul Malik bin Marwan ruled. Abdul Malik bin Marwan, when he ruled also, Islam spread far and wide for the sole reason that the ummah was united once again. And we find in history, when the ruler was a ruler and the ummah was united, even though the ruler was not the best, but Allah's help was with to such an extent that deen was spread far and wide. That's why even Islam spreading in Africa stopped to an extent when there was disunity. That's why Hazrat Mullah Muhammad Yusuf rahmatullahi would always say, our tahajjud, our ibadat, our dhikr of Allah will reach the arsh of Allah. But Allah's madad will only come when the hearts are united, when unity takes place. And like this we see during these periods of history. Like Abdul Malik bin Marwan ruled, a great rule. He ruled right till the year 86. And a lot of achievements he did. One day he writes a letter to the Roman emperor. And he wrote Allah's name at the beginning of the letter. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. This Roman emperor was very upset. If you're going to continue taking your Lord's name, Allah's name, then I might mint my coin discarding your Nabi. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abdul Malik bin Marwan was enraged by this. And he announced in the lands of Islam that we will not use that currency anymore. And he started making the currency. He was the first person, first Muslim ruler to make currency with Allah Ta'ala's name on it, Abdul Malik bin Marwan. And then he also sent people to spread Islam far and wide. Under him was a man by the name of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. And another thing we also learn when we study history, when you take a personality, you'll find good in that person and we'll find mistakes in that person. We look at both. After Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we look at both. If you find good in that person, we learn from it. We find mistakes, we also learn from it. So that we can also abstain from the same. But sometimes one mistake a person does, or many mistakes a person does, we don't wipe him out completely. And we also put ourselves in the same scenario to understand what happened to this person. What made him do what he did. Like Hajjaj bin Yusuf, among the other things we heard, that also he made a lot of mistakes, a lot of wrongs, a lot of tyranny. But some good also. that the armies under him took Islam far and wide. To regions like Bukhara and Samarkand and Maru and Marh. Regions like these, the armies of Hajjaj bin Yusuf took. And Islam spread so far. There was a man by the name of Qutaybah bin Muslim Bahili. He was an army general under Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And Hajjaj bin Yusuf was under Abdul Malik bin Marwan. Now this man, he was taking Islam to these regions. And there were so many of Allah's friends there to spread Islam, to build masajid. The non-Muslims loved the Muslims so much. There was one region that the Muslims were now sieged very, very badly. And there was a lot of trouble. There was a lot of dua for the Muslims. And now Qutaybah bin Muslim sends his men to see where's Muhammad bin Wasi' Azdi. Muhammad bin Wasi' was a great waliullah and he was a great scholar. So he goes to find Muhammad bin Wasi' rahmatullah alayh, and he was actually in dua. And he was raising his hands to the sky. So the person who went to call Muhammad, went to see what Muhammad bin Wasi' was doing, returned to Qutaybah to tell him that this is what Muhammad bin Wasi' is doing. You want me to call him? He said, no, I just want to know what he's doing. Leave him. Because just that hands raising high to the sky brings Allah's help. More than 1,000 swords held by 1,000 strong men. The dua of the pious, the dua of the elders, the dua of Allah's friends, the dua of the ulama. There were many like this. Yazid bin Muhallab in this area called Jurjan, Sughd, in the outskirts of China. This was also under Walid bin Abdul Malik. After Abdul Malik bin Marwan ruled, he ruled right till 86. Then his son took over. His son's name was Walid bin Abdul Malik bin Marwan. So just to explain the rulers once again, then I can just explain these couple of incidents, how Islam spread under them. Marwan bin Hakam ruled. Two of Marwan bin Hakam's sons were rulers. One was Abdul Malik bin Marwan, and the other was Abdul Aziz bin Marwan. Marwan said, after me, my eldest son, Abdul Malik bin Marwan will rule. And after Abdul Malik bin Marwan will rule, will be another son of mine whose name is Abdul Aziz. Abdul Aziz was to rule. So Abdul Malik bin Marwan ruled, and he passed away in 86. Who was to rule after him? His brother. But his brother passed away a year before him, because his brother was the governor of Egypt. Abdul Aziz passed away in 85. Now Abdul Aziz will remember his name, because we know his son. His son is very famous. Abdul Aziz's son, everyone knows. Abdul Aziz's son is Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Now you might ask also, how come the son is a father is appointing the son? If you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khilafah will remain 30 years. After that, mulk will come in my ummah. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu felt also, the ummah is gone so vast, if every time a khalifa passes away, who's going to make the mashura when there's so many people worthy of rule? So he didn't want the ummah to be disunited. And that's why he appointed his son. And that's why the Banu Umayyah ruled for such a lengthy period of time, which made it easier in this way, that every time a ruler passes away, the lands are gone vast, okay, mashura has to be made, but who's going to make the mashura? Some agree with some and others don't agree with others. And like that, this is what happened. Now, Abdul Malik ruled. And after Abdul Malik was Walid bin Abdul Malik. He was also a great ruler. His reign is known as Ghurra, Al-Ghurra fi Jabini Bani Umayyah. The beautiful sterling forehead, or the beautiful part, the most beautiful part in the forehead of the Banu Umayyah. Because he also, in his time, Islam spread so far. So many people changed their lives. He built masajid. In his time, he built the famous Jame Masjid of Damascus. It took him 10 years. His 10 years of rule went in that. 86 to 96. With other things, like the Masjid of Qubba in Aqsa. He built that masjid. He built hospitals. Among the hospitals was one hospital. A special section of the hospital was for those who had leprosy. He, from the Baytul Mal, he would arrange a khadim for any crippled person. Any person who had weaknesses or illnesses, he would arrange a special khadim for that person, paid by the Baytul Mal. If anyone was blind, he would arrange a guide, paid a personal guide for that blind person, Walid bin Abdul Malik. He ruled great rule. And he took Islam very, very far and wide. In the side of, we were talking about Bukhara and Samarkand side, Qutaybah bin Muslim was still ruling there. And as he was ruling, there was one ajib incident. After him, Okay, that was actually Yazid, that was actually under Yazid ibn al-Muhallab. Let's go back to Africa. Uqba bin Nafi' now, he finally reaches Qayrwan. When does he reach Qayrwan? In the year approximately 60 Hijri. 60 Hijri. When he reaches Qayrwan, another Sahabi brought Islam there before him. His name was Muawiyah bin Hudayj radiallahu anhu. But Qutaybah had 15 Sahaba with him, with the Tabi'een. And he spread Islam more in his time. And he actually changed the markaz. He chose another strategic point so that the Muslims can be protected. And where was what was the point he chose? Actually in the jungle, far away from the ocean, so the Muslims will be preserved and they can't suffer any attacks and setbacks. And now the jungle was very dangerous. Uqba bin Nafi' radiallahu anhu announced in the jungle of Tunisia, in this area called North Africa. He made an announcement and he said, أَيَّتُهَا الْحَيَّاتُ وَالسِّبَاعُ وَالْهَوَامُ O wild animals, O lions of the jungle, O insects, O snakes, O animals of harmful nature, please leave this jungle. نَحْنُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ We are the Sahaba of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he gave these animals 3 days. Within those 3 days, the lions moved out with their cubs. The snakes moved out with their snakelets. And all the harmful animals moved out of there. And that was where Uqba bin Nafi' radiallahu anhu built this entire markaz and this region of Islam, where Islam spread far and wide. Then he went to more regions after that. Finally, he reached the Atlantic Ocean, Uqba bin Nafi'. When he reached the Atlantic Ocean, it was him who actually plunged his horse into the waters. And he cried to Allah. He says, Ya Allah, lawla hadhal bahr. If it wasn't for this ocean, oh Allah, I would have went further to tell those people on the other side of the ocean about you. That was the cry of Uqba bin Nafi'. And then he sends his men back to Qayrwan. And as he was returning, there was another great personality with him, whose name was Abu al-Muhajir ibn Dinar, who was sent there by Yazid. But Uqba bin Nafi' was the Amir. Uqba bin Nafi' radiallahu anhu. And then the Romans attacked them in this region called Zab. And they fought back. They were just 300. And Uqba bin Nafi' passed away there. And that's where his grave is. And like this, after him, another Amir was sent to teach Islam further, to spread Islam further into Africa. His name was Hassan bin Nu'man Ghassani. Hassan bin Nu'man Ghassani, he took Islam further. And the way he taught Islam, he spread Islam much more than even previous. Because he built on where the previous Sahabi left off. He was a Tabi'i, Hassan bin Nu'man Ghassani. And right till the year 86, when he left there in 86, when Walid bin Abdul Malik called him back, that entire state was a land of Islam. Everyone was Muslim there. Hassan bin Nu'man Ghassani. And then Walid bin Abdul Malik sent Musa bin Nusayr there. Musa bin Nusayr worked on spreading deen, inviting people to Allah, striving in Allah's way. And he spread Islam so far there. With him was his servant, or his slave, Tariq bin Ziyad. Then the entire region was Muslim except one area called Sibta. Sibta was not Muslim. But the ruler of Sibta, his name was Julian, and he loved the Muslims. Julian was the former ruler of Spain. Now this is North Africa, then the ocean, and then Spain. So he ruled this region in Africa, but he was the former ruler. His relative was the former ruler of Spain. So he was very upset because his relative was removed by Lazarus. So he spoke to the Muslims that Lazarus is oppressing the people of Spain. Why don't you all go into Spain and spread Islam? And you all will rule better than how they rule. So that was when Musa bin Nusayr sent Tariq bin Ziyad to take Islam into Spain. The way the local people loved the Muslims, they said, we haven't seen justice, integrity, fairness like this before in our life. Muslims rule in Spain in a short while. And Islam spread far and wide. There was a ruler after that, Uqba bin Hajjaj Saluli. Every person he met, he invited to Allah. If there was a battle and there was a captive, he would invite that person to Allah. More than 1,000 people who were slaves actually accepted Islam at his hands. This was during Walid bin Abdul Malik's reign. Towards the end of Walid bin Abdul Malik, he called Musa bin Nusayr back. And Musa bin Nusayr always made dua. Oh Allah, take my life in your path. And if it's not in your path, take me in Medina Munawwara. Take me in your path or take me in Medina Munawwara. This was the dua of Musa bin Nusayr. He was 85 years and he was striving in Allah's path in Spain, because afterwards he went to help Musa, Tariq bin Ziyad in Spain. Up till the time when Walid called him back, then he had to come back because he's the Amir. The Amirul Mu'mineen called him back. When Walid called him back, Walid went for Hajj. And Musa bin Nusayr joined him for Hajj. From Makkah Mukarramah, they were traveling to Medina Munawwara. And in Medina Munawwara, he passed away. His entire life, he was striving in Allah's path right till the age of over 80. He was 85 when he left this world. Then Walid appointed his brother Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik to rule. Sulaiman was also a very, very kind, loving ruler. He ruled with so much of mercy. But Sulaiman didn't like Hajjaj bin Yusuf's ways. So all the governors of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, or people who were taking deen under Hajjaj bin Yusuf, Sulaiman called them back and took them to task. But he sent others. Like Yazid bin Muhallab was sent under, he was sent back into the region of Sughd and China and Jurjan. He was sent under Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik. So going back, he called back Qutaybah bin Muslim, because he didn't want Qutaybah. Qutaybah was under Hajjaj. So Sulaiman sent Yazid to be the general. And while Yazid was serving deen there in that region, Yazid bin Muhallab, when Muslims actually conquered one region, and there was so much of booty, so much of booty. Hazrat Mufti Dawud Haq Sahib Damat Barakatuh mentioned this incident last week in this masjid. There was so much of booty that the Muslims had. And as the booty distribution was taking place, there was one priceless, expensive crown. So Yazid bin Muhallab makes an announcement amongst his men. Who is there that can say that I don't want such a thing? You think there can be some people in today's times? He's asking them. So those in front said, no, everyone will want this. He said, let me show you. He called Muhammad bin Wasi' rahmatullah alayh. And Muhammad bin Wasi' was actually making nafil salah. He was far away from the distribution. And as he was called, he comes in front. The Amir tells him that this crown is so valuable, but everyone is happy for us to give it to you. He says, oh Amir, please, I don't want it. Allah reward you abundantly. Allah reward everybody who's agreeing with you. I don't want it. Please. Can I go back? He says, no. I take qasam that you will take it. And now he had to fulfill the qasam. So heavy-heartedly, he takes that crown. And he's holding it like something that he doesn't want to hold. And he walks away. And as he's walking away, Yazid, others around him, Yazid bin Muhallab bin Abi Sufra, is thinking, those around him are thinking, see, he took it now. So Yazid sent someone to follow him. You'll see what he'll do. And he's following him from a distance. As Muhammad bin Wasi' sees nobody is watching him, he actually looks right, looks left, and there was one beggar asking him, Lillah, Lillah, give me for Allah's sake. He presents that crown as though he, threw the burden of the world off his head, off his shoulders, and he went away from there. This soldier who was following, or this man who was following, called this person and took him back to the Amir. And the Amir gave him a lot of money in lieu of that crown. So Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik also. Sulaiman, one great achievement of Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik was Constantinople. He made fikr for Constantinople. And he took a vow that I will not go back home in the year 98 Hijri. I will not go back home because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about Constantinople. And I want that dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he sent his brother Maslama bin Abdul Malik. And he also went, and his sons went. One of his sons' name was Dawood. He sent that son also with the others to bring Constantinople, to conquer Constantinople. And they were long out in Allah's path for such a lengthy period of time. And then Sulaiman, he was also out. He was camped at Dabiq. He refused to go home. He says, until we get Constantinople. And then he was passing away. A great pious alim by the name of Raja bin Haywa. Raja bin Haywa says, it was the year 99, Safar, the first Jum'ah it was. And Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik calls me. And he says to me, who you think I should appoint as the ruler after me? So I told him, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you choose. I didn't want to take anybody's name. I wanted him to choose and I would affirm or agree. Because Sulaiman actually would make mashura with ulama all the time. And Raja bin Haywa was one of the greatest scholars of that time. A great rawi of hadith. And he would actually advise the rulers. So he says, what do you think about my son Ayyub? So Raja says that Ayyub is still young. You don't even know if he's going to be pious or actually disobedient, defiant. And the best thing that will help a ruler by Allah is if he appointed a pious ruler after him. So who do you think then, O Raja? Raja says, you say you are Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, what about my son Dawood? He says, Dawood is out in Allah's path. We don't even know if he's going to come back alive. Okay, what do you think? What do you think about Umar bin Abdul Aziz? Raja says, there's nobody better. This is the best person for the job. The best person to serve the Ummah and bring people onto justice and khair and deen. Show mankind the truth. So, Sulaiman was happy with that. But he said, but now it will come out from the children of Abdul Malik. Because Sulaiman and Walid were both the sons of Abdul Malik. Abdul Malik got other children, Yazid and Hisham and Maslama. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz is the son of Abdul Aziz, Abdul Malik's son. So it will go into the cousins and come out from the brothers. I don't think my family will be happy with that. So Raja said, okay, appoint two rulers. One ruler and one after him. Waliul Ahad. So he said, okay, that might work. But Raja wanted Umar bin Abdul Aziz to be the ruler. And in that, Sulaiman was very ill. Because he was leaving this world and he was very, very young. He was actually in the path of Allah when he got very ill. And he wrote this down. And Raja takes that letter and seals it. That I, Amirul Mu'mineen, appoint Umar bin Abdul Aziz as Amirul Mu'mineen after me. As I am leaving this world. And he seals this letter. As he comes out of there, there was this guard who was there. And as he says, don't let anybody go by the Amir. Because he fell unconscious after that. Just then, few of the brothers of Sulaiman come there and say, tell us, Raja, who did Amirul Mu'mineen appoint after him? So Raja said, I'm not going to tell you. And as he goes further, he sees Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Umar says, please tell me, did Amirul Mu'mineen appoint me, assign any responsibility to me? Because if he did, I want to speak to him now that I don't want to be any ruler. I don't want any responsibility of position and status. Just tell me now before he leaves, before it's too late. Because I know he reveres me. Because Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik loved Umar bin Abdul Aziz very much. They were brother-in-laws. Sulaiman was married to Umar Rahmatullah Ali's sister. And Umar Rahmatullah Ali was married to Sulaiman's sister, Fatima binti Abdul Malik. So they were very, very close. And Sulaiman always made mashura with Umar. Raja said, I won't tell you nothing. Anyway, he goes and gathers the entire family and says, will you all agree to take bay'ah to he who Amirul Mu'mineen appointed? They said, definitely. They all agreed. And just after that, he went to see and Sulaiman passed away. Then he gathered them again and he read this letter out that I, Amirul Mu'mineen, is appointing after me, as I was leaving this world, Umar bin Abdul Aziz as Khalifatul Muslimin. When this letter was read in the Jami Masjid of Damascus, the entire masjid rumbled, reverberated with takbir. Everyone was so happy. They all knew Umar bin Abdul Aziz, his justice, his integrity, his love for the people, his quality of khidmat. Everyone was happy. But Umar bin Abdul Aziz himself actually collapsed. He fell down, he couldn't bear himself. He was very, very hurt. Raja had to come down off the minbar to carry him onto the minbar. And then he said, I allow you to take back your khilafah. Keep it shura amongst you. I don't want to be your Amir. They said, no, la naqeel, wa la nastaqeel. We'll never take it back. You will remain Amir al-Mu'mineen. And that was the shout from the entire masjid. And then Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, became Amir al-Mu'mineen. What a ruler he was. There was a man by the name of Dukayn al-Absi. And Dukayn al-Absi says, rahmatullah, he says, I went to visit Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. The sky is blocking NPS 39886. Please remove your car. Dukayn says, I met Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, when he was the governor of Medina Munawwara. I visited him. And I praised him with kind words. And he was so kind, he gave me 15 camels. Of the most high breed of camels. And I was so happy. I was a simpleton. And I didn't want to travel back to Najd because my worry was it'll get stolen. So I waited a few days when there was a caravan returning to Najd. I sought their permission. Can I travel with you all? They gave me permission. I went to take leave from Amir, from the governor of Medina. This was when Umar is the governor. This is before he became Amir. I'm just taking you back a little bit. And then I went to take his leave that I'm leaving. He called me and he said that Allah has given me a nature that I always want something better. So one day Allah will give me something better. Come back to me and I will give you more. So he had a very generous nature. He says, who will be my witness, O governor, that you will do this for me? He says, these two sheikhs. And who was the two sheikhs? May I know who they are? He says, this is Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. Salim bin Abdullah bin Umar is Umar radiallahu anhu's grandson. Umar radiallahu anhu's grandson. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu's son, who's one of the greatest scholars of Medina Munawwara. 8 fuqaha of Medina, there's 7, he's the 8th. He is the 8th greatest scholar of Medina Munawwara. فَخُذْهُمْ عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ عُرْوَةُ قَاسِمٌ سَعِيدٌ أَبُو بَكْرٍ سُلَيْمَانٍ خَارِجًا. And 8th is Salim, Salim bin Abdullah bin Umar. And the other was Yahya, the servant of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He said, hey, لَقَدْ اسْتَسْمَنْتُ الشَّاهِدُ. What a powerful witness I have. He says, I was happy I left. Years later, I heard the news, Sulaiman, Amirul Mu'mineen, passed away. So I asked, Fadl bin Dukain is saying, I asked, okay, who's the next ruler? And I was told, it is Umar bin Abdul Aziz. I started screaming with takbir out of joy. I got my caravan ready, my camel ready, and I was traveling now to Damascus to meet Amirul Mu'mineen, to get his promise. And so, Ajib, he comes there, and he meets Amirul Mu'mineen. He says, Ya Umar al-Khayrati wal-Makarimi. Ya Umar al-Khayrati wal-Makarimi. وعمر الدسائع العظائم. O Umar, the one of great generosity and kindness and nobility. طلبت ديني من أخي المكارم. I'm asking my debt, the fulfillment of my debt from the noble brother. So Umar rahmatullah alayh calls him one side and he says, you know, as I told you, whenever Allah gives me something, I want something better. Allah gave me khilafah. There's nothing greater than this in the world. There's no higher position. And this position I am using to get Allah's Jannat. I have not used this position to get the dunya of this world. All I own, everything else is Baytul Mal's. All I own is 1,000 dirham. Take 500 and keep 500 for me. He said, I took that 500 dirham from him. I went back home and Allah put me so much of barakat in that 500 dirham. When Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi took over, one great ajib khidmah he did. He didn't work on spreading Islam to further regions. He worked on strengthening the iman of those who were already Muslim in those regions that were already lands of Islam. This is what he worked on. He made tashkil of 10 of the greatest ulama of Egypt and of Damascus, who were the greatest rawis of hadith, and he sent them into Africa to teach deen. One scholar stayed there for 30-40 years teaching Islam and teaching deen. Just to tell you some of the names. Ismail bin Ubaidillah bin Abil Muhajir, who went, he was sent as a governor, and he taught Islam for 30 years. Bakr bin Sawada Judami Abu Thumama. Umar rahmatullahi sent him. He taught deen in Africa for 30 years, and he passed away there. And there were many like this, to teach Islam, to teach deen. Whenever there was fitna, these 10 scholars and fuqaha and muhaddithin sent by Umar bin Abdul Aziz would make mashura, and they would solve every issue and every fitna. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz made so much of khidmah. There was one region called Samarkand. And in this area, Samarkand, when they heard of the justice of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, the non-Muslims got together and they went to speak to the governor. Tabari mentions this report with the sanad. The governor's name was Sulaiman bin Abis Surri. And they said to him that when Qutaybah bin Muslim Bahili came in, he came in unjustly. Number one is, we didn't get dawat before he came in. And number two is, we were already paying jizya. He wasn't happy with the amount we were paying, so he came in unjustly. Do you allow us, O governor of Samarkand, to go to meet Amirul Mu'mineen and present our complaint to him? Sulaiman says, of course. The non-Muslims of Samarkand made a delegation and went to Damascus to meet Amirul Mu'mineen. And they presented their case to him that the Muslims entered our region unjustly, because of those two causes. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi welcomed them, honored them, and he wrote a letter and sent it back with them to the governor that present this case in the court. And the Qadi al-Qudat of that region was Jumay' ibn al-Naji. Jumay' al-Naji. It must be presented to him and he must decide. If the non-Muslims are correct, then the Muslims have to leave the region. And if they lose the case and the Muslims came in justly, then everything should stay as it is. And this matter was presented in the court, and the non-Muslims won the case. Because even the army that were there were asked, And yes, we did enter unjustly because of those two reasons. And then the governor writes to Amir al-Mu'mineen that should it be enacted? He said, as the qadi, the scholar had, and the qadi, the Muslim judge had passed the verdict, that's exactly what must be enacted. And this was then announced in Samarkand, and all the Muslims were selling their goods on auction and for sale, and they were packing and leaving the region. Just then the non-Muslims got together, and the ajeeb thing happened. That they said, we haven't seen neighborly qualities and kindness and akhlaq like these Muslims ever before in our life. How can we let them leave? We haven't seen people like them. If they're going to go, where are we going to get neighbors like them? They went and begged the Muslims and spoke to the governor, we don't want you to leave. We want you to come to rule these regions because we live happily, justly under you. So Islam was taken far and wide. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi lived a short span. And then he left this world. There's different causes. One was he was poisoned. But then after him, Yazid ruled. Then Hisham bin Abdul Malik ruled. Abdul Malik's children, four of his sons were khulafa, were rulers. Hisham bin Abdul Malik ruled for 20 years. What rule of justice and mercy and integrity. And one great quality of Hisham was everything was documented. Everything was recorded. And towards the end, after Hisham had a great worry that his nephew who was appointed as the ruler after him was a sinner. So he didn't want his nephew to rule. Because he didn't want his nephew to rule, his nephew became more defiant. He told his nephew that if you want to rule, learn from me how to be a just ruler. Come by my side. His nephew was not prepared to do anything of that sort. And he said to his uncle that I will not come learn from you, and I will rule how I want to rule. And sin started coming. And after that, when Hisham left this world, Walid bin Yazid, meaning Hisham's brother who ruled before him, from 101 to 105, he ruled, Walid. And sin started spreading, and that became the downfall of the Banu Umayyah towards the end, when they did fall. And afterwards, Allah gave another family a chance to rule. But there was one son. Hisham had a son by the name of Muawiyah. And Muawiyah's son, his name was Abdul Rahman. Maslama was Abdul Malik's brother, the brother of all these rulers. But he was the most pious of the lot. He was so pious, he was all the time in the path of Allah. And he had a lot of inspiration. And one of the dreams he saw was, when the Banu Umayyah will fall, then this one son will rule in another region far away in the west. He saw this inspiration. And he mentioned this to his brother Hisham. Hisham told him, please, Maslama, you're having this incorrect dreams. It's not possible for the Banu Umayyah to fall. Allah has given us such a rule, far and wide. Everything is under control. And that's exactly what happened when the Banu Abbas took over and they were given a chance to rule. This one son, Abdul Rahman bin Muawiyah bin Hisham, he traveled and ran for his life and he made it to Spain. And how he brought alive deen in Spain is also another ajeeb topic of history. Allah give us tawfiq. A lot of sacrifices were made to take deen far and wide. Qurbani was given. Sacrifices were given. We have to also play our part to spread deen with akhlaq, with character, with mercy, to strive in Allah's path. We have to come out in Allah's path. Allah has given us such a beautiful work, this work of dawat and tabligh, and this work of tazkiyah, and this work of ilm. That is the crux of the entire deen. Ijtima is coming. Coming out in Allah's path is something very, very important. We will only see the value when we come out in Allah's path. Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't stay at home. Sahaba took deen far and wide, my respected elders. This was mercy. This was mercy unto mankind. Otherwise, how much of thawab in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, for salah, for ibadat there. But they sacrificed that to take deen far and wide to the four corners of the world. So we have to play our part also. We have to play our part also by imparting the deen, sharing deen with others, with everybody, with mercy, with love. Give time to one person and take full part in all the works of deen. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
MashaAllah, Jazakumullah, Mufti Sahab, Allah Pak give you Jazai Khair. I think we only reached what year, Mufti? 1? We reached 130, 125, so we still got some time. InshaAllah, we'll have to set some other time when you can come back. And there are certain topics in history that we must, you know, become aware of Especially I'm going to request Mufti Sahab. One is a topic with regard to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Lot of confusion in the ummah. So people of knowledge, people who are well aware of these, inshallah, sometime when you are available, we request that, you know, these type of topics, also the issue between Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, that also we need to learn about, because what we find is that, you know, through these WhatsApps and through these messages that are spread, sometimes lots of queries come through and it upsets our mind. It's important for us to, inshallah, learn this part of history. Brothers, I want to remind and inform you, Hazrat Maulana Nazir Hunter Sahib, his wife passed away this evening, just before Maghrib Salah. Let us read some 3 times Qul Huwallahu Ahad and make Isale Sawab for her before we ask Mufti Sahib to make dua. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we make sacrifices for deen. On one of our trips, we went to Sierra Leone. In the flight, there were 2 ladies who were sitting nearby, and I could hear them talking, and both of them were from India. So they were speaking Hindi. So when I asked them, where are you going and why are you going to West Africa? Where is Sierra Leone and where is India? So they mentioned that, no, we have been sent by, you know, our church, and we're going for 1 year, or we're going for some period of time, and we're going to teach computers to the people in Africa. So they go with this intention, but the reality is that they're teaching their corrupt deen. And whilst we were in Sierra Leone, we saw many people from Western countries, many people that were, you know, working and living amongst the people there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah, that we also take out one son from our family, make him waqaf for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somewhere. If we have more than one, then they must keep on changing. And in this particular way, we become a means of deen also spreading in the 4 corners of the world. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So Mufti Sahib will make dua. Let us recite 3 times, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, for the Isale Sawab of Maulana Nazir Hunter's wife. Appa, inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله على نيته وسره لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان ولك الحمد على نعمة القرآن ولك الحمد على نعمة أن جعلتنا من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh Allah, accept us for your deen, Allah. Allah, forgive us, Allah. Allah, you accept us, Allah. Allah, give us love for your deen, Allah. Allah, give us love for the sunnah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, give us love for your remembrance, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, accept us for the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, give us tawfiq to strive in your path. Give us tawfiq to call mankind to you, Allah. Allah, make our istima'a success, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, you give us all tawfiq to be there and bring mankind to the istima, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, make the istima a success, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, you accept us for your deen, Allah. Allah, you unite our hearts, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, give us love for one another, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, we need you to accept us for your deen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, you are totally independent, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, you love Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah. Allah, you send Sahaba in your path, striving, taking deen, Allah. Allah, it was their efforts that deen had reached us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, give us tawfiq also, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, to share this deen with others, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Those around us, those needing deen, those wanting deen, those craving for deen. Allah, give us tawfiq, Allah. Allah, to take pity on mankind, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, give us tawfiq to call mankind to you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah, we ask you for all good for the entire ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi bil Mustafa, balligh maqasidana, waghfir lana ma mada, ya wasi'al karami, ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abadan, ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi, rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.